That's where my keys are. Who would have thunk it? Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you glad your Redeemer lives today?
Amen.
As we move into this Thanksgiving time and this Thanksgiving season today, of all the things that I am thankful for in my life, and it's a time for Christians to not just, you know, a lot of people have coined the phrase Turkey Day because all we're thinking about is the great meal, and I have to be honest with you, I enjoy the great meal, but it's a time of deep reflection and really showing gratitude for all the good things that God has done in our life. I came by a church, and you can be seated if you'd like. I came by a church that on the way to church, and their sign out front, a lot of hokey stuff on the sign sometimes. I think everybody gets to pick for a week their own slogan, and that's kind of dangerous because some of them are really campy and hokey. But it was really, really beautiful of what they say sometimes, but this time it just kind of was a little bit campy, but it said only turkeys don't give thanks. Amen. I thought that was pretty neat. You would have to be completely out of touch with what it really means to be saved not to have a thankful heart, and not to just have it when the emphasis is placed upon it, the spotlight is put on it, on a time called Thanksgiving. Amen. What happened in America was so wonderful in the inception of this nation. How God blessed and how God pulled people through to bring us into where we are today in this nation. To plant a new people here and to bless those people and to give us all that we have in terms of our bounty today. How many's ever seen the picture of a man or a lady? There's two of them. Both of them are up in age. They look like a glass of maybe water, and then there's this loaf of coarse bread, nothing special, nothing fancy, and yet they're bowed in deep devotion, giving thanks. Every time I see that, I'm reminded of all that I possess, all that I have, not what I don't have, but what I do have, and particularly what I have in Christ. And the Bible said, having food and raiment, therewith be content. And if there's discontent in your life today, if you're a Christian, then you are still in a prison of want. And God would love to make sure that we are delivered from the prison of want today. Amen? So that we could find total satisfaction, total completement, fulfillment in Him. Some people live to eat. America has become a nation that's under that that indictment, if you will, that we are in a self-indulgent nation. I think we can see that everywhere we turn. We're starting to pay, actually, in the environment for our self-indulgence, not only in the environment, talking about global warming, the ozone layer, but also in our personal pocketbooks we're beginning to pay for a nation's of self-indulgence, because we drive bigger and better cars, and now the demand on the oil and fuel has risen, and China has industrialized. They're not riding bicycles, standing in rice paddies anymore. They're actually driving cars like you and I, and manufacturing has taken hold, and they have become a large consumer of oil that they didn't used to. So we're in an upward spiral of the cost of living, it's just an incredible day to see people that are still discontent somehow. The large portion of the world, believe it or not, don't live to eat. They eat to live. Can you say amen? They eat to live. It's just fuel for the body. It's not embellished with all the things that we may have. And yet there seems to be this constant want and this constant desire. One of the things that's happening in the Christian community right now, the investigations into mega ministries, some mega ministries, is simply because of the self-indulgence has brought the heat on, if you please. Things that go beyond just having it nice. There's an idea that God wants everyone in opulence here. And it kind of takes away from the splendor of going there after a while, because there's so much that God is supposed to offer you right here. And there is a terrible waste of millions of dollars. And it's an incredible thing to live in a generation that thinks it's all right to be self-indulgent, that in fact God wants you to be self-indulgent. Amen. And that doesn't mean, on the other hand, God wants you to not enjoy life either. What happens when someone gets saved? There's joy in the presence of angels. Yes, there is. But there's also joy here. And how do we express that joy? We go and kill the fatted calf. Amen. It's barbecue time. Everybody says barbecue time. Amen. We throw a party. We have a good time. What did Nehemiah say back in the old covenant when they had repented and they were also brokenhearted in repentance? And he said, you know, the joy of the Lord is your strength. He said, go and eat the fat and drink the sweet. Everybody say celebrate. Eat the fat and drink the sweet, for what? The joy of the Lord is your strength. And somehow showing the joy of the Lord is enjoying the Lord. Can you say amen? One of the expressions of the joy of the Lord. So I'm not talking about, you know, living on bread and water to show how pious we are. I'm just saying that self-indulgence, when you take it beyond everything, when it starts revolving around self, then we have not denied self. We can't take up our cross. We can never follow Christ and be self-indulgent at the same time. But the wonderful thing about following Christ, if you follow the Lord, you can begin to enjoy God. You're delivered from that attitude that keeps you in the prison of want, ever having, the scripture talks about, and never, never having enough. Ever getting, but never getting enough. And it seems like the church is bought into the world's attitude when it comes to values. Somebody said, and I don't want to put anybody on the spot because we're about to receive an offering, but somebody said, show me your monthly bank statement, and I will show you what your values are. Hello? What we spend for is going to show what our values are, where our money goes, how we govern it. What we really consider to be important in our life will be reflected in our checkbooks. It'll be reflected in our bank statements. Can you say amen? How we use money is going to show where our real values are. Not what we say or sing on Sunday. It's what we do with the material blessings that God has given us that's going to reflect our true values. Amen. What you value is what you're going to spend on. Amen. Amen. And if God's work doesn't fall into that, if helping people in need doesn't fall into that, then our values do not reflect that. Amen. And that's an ironclad thing. That's nothing that's disputable. The checkbook tells the story. Aren't you glad we are not doing that today? Okay, but while you're glad about that relieved pressure, amen, God knows what's in our checkbooks. So the Lord knows all of this. So all of this other talk or singing or sentimentality doesn't mean anything unless we reflect it in the things that we value in our life. So I want to emphasize this Thanksgiving season just how important it is to reflect our gratitude to God in a practical way, not just I really worshiped. Oh, it's Thanksgiving. I'm going to really worship Him. Well, you know, you can't just do that one day a year. Can you say amen? This is something that's lived out. Our value system is lived out every single day of our life. I want a value system that actually reflects what's important to me. I'm here today making a lot less than I've been. I got 10 and a half years seniority where my night job, this is my day job, that's my night job, and I got 10 and a half years seniority. And I could be topped out. There's 5 levels of pay. I'm at level 1. You know why I'm at level 1? So I can be right here today ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. Staying at level 1 reflects my values, because they can replace a level 1 guy on a Sunday a lot easier than a level 5 guy. level 5 guy, pasteurizer. He's got to be there today to get ready to run tomorrow. He's going to be there today to get ready to run tomorrow. He's making some good bucks for it, but he's away from family, faith, and I'm not going to be away from either in order to make a few more dollars or even thousands more a year. That's my value system. And it's become, at first it was misunderstood where I worked because they would say, why is he turning down opportunities to make a lot more money? Amen. But keep telling them, you know, I'm a minister first and I work here to support that. I do that so I can do this. And you say, well, you just got this little church. Why should you bother? Because of my commitment to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I would like to think if I wasn't in a pulpit that I would be in a good church today somewhere reflecting my value system. Can you say amen? That's my value system. I'm not shoving that on anyone else. I'm just saying that's my value system. So I live that out in my daily life. And you know something? God blesses me and blesses us and takes up the slack. I'm not missing anything. I'm doing pretty good for a fellow that isn't on a level 5. Can you say amen? And God has blessed me through you folks. And I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. It takes up the slack, makes up all the difference. And it's just a joy. Amen. And I'm grateful to you for your giving. Having said that, we're going to receive an offering today. Hallelujah. Amen. In the name of Jesus, and maybe someone would get the tray and pass it around. And we got a lot of people out. My mother is going in the hospital is in the hospital, and she's been there for several days. And she's having a valve replaced, and she's having multiple bypass surgery. And she's going on 80, and she has a pacemaker, and she has a weak heart. So it's going to be a touch-and-go thing until she's done with that. Probably going very early in the morning. I'm going to go spend time with her this afternoon. And and Mike's out of town on vacation. And Sean is working because he's getting ready for this big Thanksgiving push at Publix. The arrival of Winn-Dixie. Boo, boo, boo. and so we won't have an evening service. You can see how people's busyness obviously has affected us even this morning, even with those folks being out. And I really want to be with Mom this evening, and I think most people, there's a consensus that we could miss this evening and not miss it, because you're going to get a full plate today. Amen. It'll if you eat everything that's on the plate today, guarantee you won't be hungry tonight. Praise God. You'll probably be still digesting, amen, what's on the plate today. In fact, my wife said sometimes I want to digest what I just heard before I try to assimilate something else, because God just moves for us. It's incredible the way God moves for us here, and I'm grateful. And Patty's got some things, too, coming up tomorrow that she's trying. Well, I don't know what that's about, but it's a tooth thing. And so pray for Patty. Amen. I've been there, done that. that's no fun. But we're grateful today. I want to try to qualify some things in just a moment. Did the offering already pass by? And it was painless, wasn't it? Painless. I didn't even see it come. Just pass. Okay. But you all are faithful, so I'm not even concerned about that, making a big issue out of that. Praise God. Amen. But God is faithful. If you have your Bibles while I hook up my 100 verses 1 through 5. Psalm 100 verses 1 through 5. Thanksgiving, of how important it is to keep an attitude of gratitude. Say that with me, an attitude of gratitude, especially at Thanksgiving. But I don't want it to just be focus is placed on it at Thanksgiving. I want it to be something that takes place continuously in my life. Amen. I don't want to get up one day with an issue or a problem that is transcendent, that is so great and looming so large in my life that I forget to be thankful to God. Now, there's some scriptures before we read Psalm 100 that you're very familiar with, and one of them is, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That means never lose an attitude of gratitude. Amen. Then there's another scripture that said giving thanks for all things. And I've heard that interpreted no matter what happens, what the devil, you know, they don't say it in these terms, but they're literally saying that. And I want to clarify that. Giving thanks for all things is maintaining, again, that attitude of gratitude. In spite of what may be happening around our life, amen, knowing that God is on the throne and that we can run to Him in the time of trouble, and that He's given us grace sufficient to face what we're facing and promised to deliver us and to help us in the time of our need, to never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. I get especially thankful to God for His promise to not leave me nor forsake me when I am weakened by something, when something is overwhelming in my heart. I become thankful to God that I have Him, that I know Him, that He's made the kind of covenant commitments to me that He has made. I am not going to thank God because the devil is trying to destroy one of my children. That's an event that's happening, and I'm not thankful for it. And that's not what it means, giving thanks for all things. It means maintaining, in spite of what the enemy's doing, be thankful to God. Keep that thanksgiving directed to Him in your heart no matter what's going on. Thank Him for all the things that He's given you. Amen. Beginning with salvation and then continuing into the promise of His presence. Amen. God is our refuge and strength. It's something to be thankful for. A very present help in the time of trouble. Don't thank Him for the trouble that the devil is causing in your life. God don't want that. Amen. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. So let's don't take that to some extreme without some understanding today. Amen. I do not thank God for cancer. I will not thank God for cancer. Cancer isn't God's gift or God's will somehow. Amen. It's a result of one thing. It's a result of the curse. I'm not going to thank God for death. Amen. It's an enemy according to Scripture, and it's the last enemy. Physical death, spiritual death for the Christian has already been conquered. Physical death is called the last enemy. Can you say amen? The last one to fall is the least that will affect us, and that's this body. Can you say amen? But even that is going to fall. Amen. At the resurrection of the just, even the bodies of those who slept in the Lord are going to be reconstituted and brought back to life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So giving thanks for all things is not thanking Him for the world hunger and not thanking Him for all of these things that is so hurtful to mankind. That's not what that's talking about. It's saying be thankful for all what things? Every good and perfect gift that comes down from the Father of lights in whom, listen, there is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. God is good all the time. We're still kind of hung up on that and we don't apologize for it. Amen? Giving thanks in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In every circumstance, we should thank God for His promise of help, His promise of deliverance, His presence in the time of need. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen? So we give thanks unto Him. I'm so grateful when trouble comes that I know God. Because if I didn't know Him, I would be without hope. And without God in this present world, I'd be alone trying to cope with it all, and I can't. I understand why people shoot up, and I understand why they drink up. I understand why the world looks for something to numb them to the realities that they can't change. They're hopeless, and therefore they're helpless. Can you say amen? You live in a world that is void of hope. And you are the bearers of hope. You know the truth. You know the Lord. You are not without help in this world. Publish it. Tell it everywhere you go. Give God thanks in everything. And let the world know that your God is God. And that your God wants to be their God too. Saith the Spirit of the Lord. Somebody give Him praise in this place today. I hate to see Scripture open the door for the devil to do his dirty work. And giving thanks for all things, including the devil's evil intentions against us, is not what the Bible is talking about. It means in every circumstance, find, amen, set your focus on God and be thankful that you have Him in that time of trouble. Amen. Be thankful that for the victory that is promised you in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Don't thank Him for the traffic accident that took that child today, because we live in a fallen world where a lot of random things are going to take place, and don't blame God for it as if God, amen, like a child with the matchbox cars and toys are crashing cars in His sovereignty somehow. No, we live in a fallen, faulty, cursed world. The curse is not lifted. Amen. A curse came on this planet when sin entered this world. And all of the hurt and harm is because of that curse. It all runs straight back to original sin when man traded gods. Man traded gods. Satan, because of Adam, not because of Jehovah, but because of Adam and his fall and his failure to obey God. Amen. When he switched gods, literally, through who he bowed to, who he listened to, who he obeyed, and who he disobeyed. He didn't do it consciously, but spiritually, in spiritual law, Adam switched gods in the garden. Romans 6:16 said, whoever you yield your members, servants to obey, literally bond slave, his servant, you are whom you obey. Can you say amen? As long as Adam obeyed the true and living God, the Lord Jehovah, he was fine, and the garden was fine, and there was no curse and no disease and no hurt and no death in the world. God is good all the time. Everything he created, what did he call it? Good. Amen. And when he saw something that wasn't good, he made it good. Amen. Because he said it's not good that man be alone. So he did something really good. And we don't have a whole lot of men to we got three here today. Amen. We don't have a whole lot of men to acknowledge that. All three of the men that believe when you found your wife, and I'm not talking about, you know, I'm talking about really overall, that you found a good thing. Boy, I tell you, Sherry's not here listening to this. Oh, I'm... Okay. I'm going to give us all one more chance. And George is right here too with the offering. There's four of us actually. Did he say amen from in there? All right. All right. One, two, three. We're going to try it again. He that's found a wife has found a good thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. God made it good. And if it wasn't good, he made it good. Can you say amen? That's why we thank him. That's why we praise him. That's why we sing. God is good. Amen. But when Adam listened to the devil and disobeyed God and obeyed Satan, I know it was Eve became the instrument that Satan used, but it was Satan that was being obeyed instead of God, and it was God that was being disobeyed. Somehow another in spiritual law, whoever you obey, you make your God. And Satan became the god of a fallen world that's in rebellion to this day. The Bible said he's the spirit that works in the children of what? Disobedience. Part of giving thanks to the Lord is living in obedience to him. Obedience and thanksgiving go hand in hand. You can't have a thankful heart and be disobedient at the same time. Holiness and thanksgiving go hand in hand. It's incredible. To be unholy involves being unthankful. And being thankful involves holiness. They're all interlinked together. We've got to understand this about our value systems. You can't claim holiness with an unthankful heart. Because one of the most unholy things you can do today is stand in the presence of a God that's been so gracious enough to give us his son, and a son who's been so gracious enough to go to the cross and suffer a tortured death for you and me, and not be grateful and thankful to him for that. And I don't mean grateful and thankful at appointed times where we focus for a little while. I'm talking about to put in aside whatever's touching our life long enough to be thankful to him. So praise is something that's consistent in our mouth. In everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. A lot of people looking for the will of God in their life. I would start right here. It's so specific. It's spelled out in Scripture. Amen. Begin with being thankful right where you are. Can you say amen? Be thankful in the time of trouble. You've got a God that said, call upon me in the time of trouble, and I will deliver you. and you will what? Glorify me. Amen. All of this glory we're giving him is out of a heart of gratitude. Amen. Everybody say again, an attitude of gratitude. I'll help you remember that. Maintain it. Sustain it. Amen. But recognize that we're in a world that is under a curse. The Bible said that women were not in pain in childbearing until the curse came. The Bible said that flowers grew without thorns. There was no thorn for a man to prick his hand on until the curse came. Amen. God provided somehow for man without him having to till the earth and toil. And from that, once the curse came, he had to make his living by the sweat of his brow. Amen. To try to eke out a living in this world. But when God had his way, it was different. Can you say amen? Now, I'm so thankful today, amen, for the reverse of that curse. I'm going to preach sometime soon. If you'll come to hear it, sometimes I just want the place to be filled. I want to be able to just get this message out that's so burning in my heart to whoever will listen to it and take it to heart. Can you say amen? This is important stuff we're dealing with today. We need to understand the scriptures. We got people thanking God for what the devil's doing. Amen. And that is not something you thank God for. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We need to thank him for the right things. We need to thank him for his goodness and thank him for his grace. Can you say amen? Thank him for his promise to never leave us or forsake us. Thank him for the promise of victory. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Never stop thanking him. The time of trouble, it's good to know. I haven't even read the psalm. Let's read it. Hallelujah. Psalm 100. Are you getting psyched for this? Let me read something first before I do that. I marked some scripture on the way. I shouldn't have been, but I did. I was in the truck marking some scripture, but I had one eye on the road. You've never seen anybody do that, have you? Have one eye on the road and another on their BlackBerry or whatever that thing is, that little handheld thingy. Let me read something about the last days. Look, right in the middle of all of the sinful practices of man at the most sinful pinnacle of human existence, the last days. Listen to this. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm just going to read. See if you hear something in here that's appropriate to this morning service. Listen to this. This know that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Somebody say, tell me about it. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Everybody say unthankful. It's one of those things that we can let seep into our life. There's a lot of things here we would never permit in our life, like blasphemy. Christians shouldn't blaspheme the Lord. We shouldn't be proud. God resists the proud. We shouldn't love ourselves. Self-love will never allow the lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen? It goes on to say, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Right in the middle of all of these heinous sins is a sin that is tolerated in many Christian circles. Unthankfulness. Sin of ingratitude cancels our praise and our worship. God looks past our lips and looks directly in our heart. And he's looking for that attitude of gratitude. You may have had a bad week. Jesus had, amen, a bad time on Calvary. You may have suffered heartache. Thank him for the grace he promised you. And thank him that you're not going to stay in that brokenhearted condition. Even if you feel like that you're never going to get out of that, that nothing can heal it, I'm telling you, there's a balm in Gilead. There's a physician there. Can you say amen? Amen. When God spoke to Israel, they felt like our wound can never be healed. We are so wounded. As is there no balm. Is there no healing ointment in Gilead? Is there no physician there? What he's saying is, can't God do this? I mean, I know you can't heal yourself, but isn't there a God? Don't we have a covenant with a God who is Jehovah Rapha? And he's not just healing for the body, he's healing for the soul. He's healing for the sin that has brought such havoc into our lives. He's still that great healer within and without. Amen. Gilead was a place where they made healing ointments. It was a place known for the making of medicines and ointments and balms. And everyone knew if you want something to put on that burn, you can find it at Gilead. Because there are doctors there that are putting together all of these different balms and they're known. There's a physician. You know if you get to Gilead, you'll find a physician there. Can you say amen? You know what it's like saying? So you've got a cut that needs stitching. Is there no stitches at the hospital? Is there no physician there? In other words, you don't have to bleed and die. You can go get this fixed at the hospital. Can you say amen? I mean, why sit and bleed and die when there's a hospital with physicians waiting to fix you up and let you live? What the prophet was saying, there's a God who can fix you. Can you say amen? As sure as there's a bomb in Gilead and a physician in Gilead, there is a God in heaven that is in covenant with Israel. And his name is Jehovah Rapha. He is our physician. He knows how to heal you within. He knows how to heal you without. Give him thanks. Hallelujah. Be grateful. Be thankful. There's a balm in Gilead for your broken heart. There's a physician there that can fix you. Amen. Even when your life is shattered, he can fix you. Incredible, incredible God. Why is judgment coming upon this earth? And some of the judgments are here already. We're in a land and a nation that is in regression right now morally, and we're seeing the result of that. Nations have taken on the same tone as America before their great fall. Rome is one of the most recent world empires that crumbled because of the same sins that we are committing in the same value system that we're adapting right now in not only in our nation, honey, but in the Church of Jesus Christ. We have a value system that does not reflect the kingdom anymore. Everything is about here, now, material, temporal. Amen. And the spiritual things are being neglected. And we've got spiritual dwarfs in pulpits trying to preach about a Jesus, amen, that they're trying to make into their image instead of preaching a Jesus that wants to make us into his. And it's a pseudo-Christ. It's not the Christ of Scripture. He's different. His values reflected the heart of God and a kingdom that is not of this world. Amen? And he lived it out, and so did the apostles. Don't let anyone tell you they are like some of these guys and gals that you're seeing and hearing from today. Go to the scripture, you'll find different people with different values. I don't care how dynamic the speaker is. When you waste millions of dollars on self-indulgence in a world as needy as ours. Millions of people went hungry in our own nation. You don't have to go to Africa to find it. It's here. And if I had $10 million of my personal money, look at my checkbook and you'll find out where my values are. What I do with that much money is going to tell you something about my character. It's going to tell you something about my Christian faith and my value system. Amen? What am I personally doing? I'm not talking about, you know, all the other monies that's channeled through a ministry. I'm talking about my money. It's what David did. You know, when they built the temple, David was not allowed to build it. Solomon is the one that God chose to build it. And David said, out of my own personal, not out of the taxes I received as king over Israel. You know, that's really not mine, but I being a good king, use that. No, but out of his personal account. I like that. When it gets personal, you find out where values are. Out of my personal account, he said, David was so lavish. He gave to that project. I mean, he gave if it was in today's calculation, tens of millions of dollars to the building of the temple. David said, if I'm not going to build it, bless God, I'm going to support the building of it because this is for God. Next best thing to building it myself is supporting it. Oh, somebody give him praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus was different than this new class of Christian that we're viewing today. And it doesn't mean taking a vow of poverty. God wants to provide for us. God wants to bless us. And we need the blessing, quite frankly, to support his work. God don't bless me with enough so that I can have to give. You know, the Bible said every man must work that he might have to give to any that are in need. Can you say that? That means that we meet our obligations, take care of our families, and God wants us to have enough to be able to give on top of that. Well, he's going to have to bless us in order for us to do that. There's nothing wrong with believing God for a financial blessing, a material blessing. When we need it, we need it. And God says, I want to give it to you. Good measure, shaken together, pressed down, and running over. And God, believe it or not, I feel extraordinarily blessed today. Amen. I don't live in a house that some people would, you know, would consider such a great blessing. They'd say, oh, my, my. Oh, my. I can't stand this. Well, you've never lived where I've lived. One thing that makes me so happy with what I have is that I have had so... I remember living in an 8-wide trailer. It was one that was shaped like a turtle. It came over this way. Right after I came to Jesus, I was put to the test. We were put to the test. Could we be happy with food and raiment in Christ? Amen. Because I had to make a decision to continue to work every single Sunday and miss church, or to be in church and sacrifice some of the good life. In fact, most of the good life. I'm serious. So we lived in this 8-wide, little bit bigger than... Well, I've seen campers a lot. It was, you know, this was an old, but it had a little room built on the front out of some kind of cheap wood and just give us enough room to get out into something we could, you know, move around in. But this and the bathroom, I can't remember the bathroom. It was minuscule. It had to be. This thing couldn't be over 30 foot long, I don't think. And we had a child and I don't even know where the kid slept. Did the kid have a place to sleep? Must have been the couch, floor, something. But, I remember it coming over like a turtle. The little bed was back here. And if you're on that side of it, you're on the part that curves over, you know, and you're sitting in there. But we were brand new in Jesus. We had Jesus. We knew we had come past from death to life. I walked in my job and said, I will do anything. I've got 6 years seniority here with Winn-Dixie Warehouse. I will do anything. I will do the janitor work. I will take a cut in pay. Anything. Just let me off on Sunday. Let me off on Sunday because I've just come to Christ. I need to be in church with my family. I need to worship. My soul is important. The kingdom was first in my life. You know why the kingdom was first? Because the King was first. Can you say amen? Kingdom is not some you know spiritual realm out here that, you know, no, the kingdom is not some mystical place. The kingdom is simply the rule and the domain of a king. And believe it or not, we have a king. Can you say amen? He's not just king of the Jews, he's king of yous.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah and me. Can you say amen? We have a king. We have a king. And we're to seek his reign in our life and in our world. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. That's how a king rules, when people bow to his will. And that's the extent of his reign, believe it or not. Can you say, man, the extent of his reign in my life is to the extent that I bow to his known revealed will in my life. And to the extent I don't bow, he does not reign. And a grateful heart keeps me bowed, believe it or not. I want to praise him. I want to serve him. I want to do his will. He's worthy of what I offer him. I yield my members, his servant, to obey. Hallelujah. And I don't serve the God of this world anymore, who took Jesus up and showed him the kingdoms of the world where their values reign, and said, worship me and I'll give you all of this. Jesus wouldn't bow. Can you say, man, we need to quit bowing to that. We've bowed to it and bowed to it and bowed to it and bowed to it until our values in the church is starting to reflect exactly the values of the world. And if God can't give us what they say will make you happy, we're unhappy and we're unthankful. So judgment comes because of an attitude like that. Let me read from Romans real quick. Romans 18, and let's read together through verse 21. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Romans chapter 1. If you're coming from the New Testament, you'll hit the book of Acts and then the book of Romans. So just get in the red letter and move past Acts and you'll be in Romans. Praise God. And if it's actually page 1403. Just turn there. Listen to this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. But that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. There it is again. Neither were thankful. It's amazing how thankfulness is involved in everything. In all things, in prayer, supplication, let your request be made known unto God. No, that is not what it said. We rush into the throne room without unthankful hearts, trying to just use faith to get our answers. In everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. With everybody say, with an attitude of gratitude. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that in spite of this trouble that I don't understand, that I can come to you. That I can come behind the veil. That I can come before your presence. That Jesus died for me to give me the privilege of coming to you. And the power that's available to me because I can come to you. And the grace that you offer me. And you invite me to come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain grace and mercy to help in the time of my need. Oh God, I thank you before I ask you for anything. How thankful I am to have a God like you. That would love me this much and make this kind of provision for me. I will not sit here with an attitude of ingratitude just asking you to do something ready to quit you if you don't. I'll be thankful. You understand? Are you seeing this today? I'll be thankful. Neither were they thankful. Not only did they disregard God, disown God, they denied God, but they were not thankful. That God in His grace and mercy has sent His Son. God in His grace and mercy has revealed Himself even in the firmament that we look at night. Declares His handiwork. God said, I know their hearts and I know they're capable of believing. I know that what I have given in terms of revelation is enough for man to believe. I've given every man the measure of faith, and I light every man that comes into this world. Even in this darkened world, God said, I'll give you light so you can see truth if you have a heart for it. So they are without excuse, not before men, but before God. There will be no excuse at the judgment that will hold water before Almighty God. God said there's no excuse. So how shall we escape? What? The judgment to come. If we what? We neglect such a what? Great salvation as this. We hear a lot about the seven deadly sins. And we make sure that we don't do one of them, but that leaves us 2,352,000 other ones. Can you say, man, just eliminate those seven and you've got 2,352,000 other ones I can do and get by. No, there's one reason people are going to hell. It only takes one reason. This is the condemnation or the condemning sin. This is it. There's no other sin, amen, that is unforgivable in all of man's life experience. But there's one sin, this, Jesus said. And Jesus is going to be the judge, according to Revelation. His hair was as wool. And the Father's committed the judgment to the Son. And the Lamb is going to also become the judge of those who've rejected His offer of grace. Can you say amen? Listen to this. Amen. This is the condemnation. Light. This revelation God's talking about that He knows He's given to the heart of man has come into the fallen, darkened world. But men made a choice when they had an opportunity for that light. They chose darkness over light. Can you say amen? This is the condemnation. This is it. This is the reason that people are in hell. Not because of drugs, debauchery, amen, illicit sex, blasphemy. This is the reason. It involves blasphemy, but blasphemy of the one who is the giver of that light, the communicator of that light, the Holy Spirit. If you want to see that in the New Testament, it said when they knew Him, see, they had the knowledge. God had opened their eyes. They would not confess Him. When they knew Him, they would not confess Him because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Neither were they thankful. Amen? Unthankfulness pervades our hearts many times. How many times have we come to church with our most recent problem on our mind and we're not centered on Jesus and we justify it because we're not thankful? We're thinking about ourselves. We're not selfless. We're not thankful. I go through things, but I'm so thankful. Even more thankful when I go through things. It makes me appreciate, amen, His grace and His love and His invitation to come before His throne and what Jesus did so I could do that. Thank You, Lord, when I'm under the gun for Your grace and the privilege of being Your child and calling You Abba, Father, and to preface my prayer with my Father, which art in heaven, and knowing that I have His heart, and because I have His heart, I have His ear. Can you say amen? If I have His ear, I know I have the petition that I've desired of Him. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. Hallelujah. Let me read Psalm 100 real quick. You might as well cue up. That's why we praise Him. I just feel that rolling on the inside of me today. Psalm 100, you will absolutely recognize this great psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Some people wouldn't know a joyful noise if it bit them on the big toe. Hello? They don't know anything about a joyful noise in church. Church and joyful noises don't go together. They just don't. Not a joyful noise. There are songs sung by a stoic choir at perfect pitch that has no joy in it. The choir members are not into the song. They're watching the conductor because, like Mike, he's threatened them. No, he doesn't. He's a good guy. He's sweet. He used to. He's really mellowed. When y'all ganged up on him, he really calmed down. Can you say amen? Do you see those choirs sometimes singing? They're singing this great gospel hymn, this great song, and they're standing like this, and they don't break a smile. And boy, if somebody in that choir did something like this, during the song, in some of those choirs, they would say, whoa, whoa. She might be one of them. Watch her close. Hey, cameraman, get off of that lady. Get off of that lady. She may have a Pentecostal background. But you know, this is not just something that we in Pentecost have great freedom and we always express joyful worship. No, honey, there's a lot of Pentecostals today that don't bring an attitude of gratitude to church. Thinking about what we, you know, what a raw deal we've got. You know what I mean? We got this raw deal. We're not living to the standard of this one or that one. We're envying the world, amen, that is under the wrath of God instead of thanking God for His grace and His salvation and food and raiment and finding contentment because we're grateful for what we have. I am so glad I came up the way I came up. I remember my mom would bring home cereal that went out of date. She worked for Winn-Dixie when it was called Margaret Ann. That was the name of the store chain, Margaret Ann. That goes way back. Margaret Ann, and then it became Quick Check, then Winn Lovett, and then Winn-Dixie. Lovett was a man's name. It wasn't, you got to love it, but you know. I was going to preach one time on take this job and love it. And I had scripture for it, but I'm still trying to live up to it before I can bring it to you. As soon as I get it lived up to, I'll bring it to the congregation. I'm working on that. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes it's tough to do that. But God is good all the time. And she would bring home these boxes of cereal that's went out of date, and they're going to pull them from the shelf. The Kellogg's guy come by and pull the stuff out of date off the shelf. It don't have time to go out of date now. It flies off the shelf so quickly, which is good for the consumer. But in those days, some cereals would actually go out of date, and he would come and pull them, and she said, could I have that? What are you going to do with that? He said, destroy it. Can I have it? Because we were struggling. We had a Jim Walter home. They build your home on a piece of property. Your property stood good for without a down payment or cash, but you had to pay back the corporation. And we never finished that home as long as I was a child before my mom and dad divorced. We never put the wallboarding up. We never got it finished. It was just dried in, and we lived in it dried in. We had a house behind the new Jim Walter home. We had an outdoor facility, a toilet, outhouse behind the Jim Walter home, because we didn't have the money to finish the Jim Walter home. But there was a family near us. We've struggled. I'm talking about, you know, it was tough back then. I mean, it was tough. And there was a family near us that lived on another piece of property in a little bitty trailer, had two daughters, and they were struggling too. We saw people that were picking moss. They used to stuff things with moss. And I knew a preacher that he and his family got out and pulled moss out of trees, amen, to take it and sell the moss that they used to stuff certain things with back then in order to get enough money to get the evening meal. This is an incredible time back in the late 40s, early 50s to be living. I had these frosted flakes. They were out of date. But boy, they were good. In the morning, I knew when I got up, I'm going to eat me some frosted flakes. And one morning, my mama got up and said, here, son, she took four boxes. I thought, man, we got frosted flakes to last us a while. We got four boxes of Tony the Tiger's frosted flakes. She said, you know, I want you to take these, and I want you to give them to that family over there because I know they're struggling. And she gave me a bag with four things of frosted flakes in it. And I remember walking across our property and crossing 579 over to this little bitty trailer. And it was early in the morning on a Saturday morning. And I knocked on the door. And she also had a lime, some kind of lime pie that had went out of date. And she said, now tell them to taste it because it might be spoiled. Be sure and tell them to taste it first. I'm not sure. It's been out of date for a while. Tell them to taste it. And I brought them, and I said, my mama said to bring you this cereal. And these two girls were peeking out the window at me, and the daddy was standing there. And I said, in this pie. And I said, now she said, taste the pie because it may be spoiled. And one of the little girls said, even spoiled pie is good when you're hungry. And I thought, oh, Lord, here I stand. You know, from my little house, it's unfinished, and us just barely making it, mom wanting to share with somebody else, amen, and seeing somebody that's in really, really need. That's why, do you realize this morning I heard a quote, I forget how many million, I can't quote it exactly, but the fact that it's in the millions of Americans in this nation, not in Africa or the Sudan, but in this nation that was hungry, children that went to bed hungry last year statistically in this nation. Ministry is going to have to do a better job, amen, of representing the kingdom, amen, and a Jesus like our Jesus. Can you say amen? There are things that I simply don't need, and because I don't need it, bless God, thank God I don't want it. Can you say amen? I do not have to keep up with Brad Pitt and Angelina. There's nothing in here that says that somehow or another, for me to be happy, I have to keep up with Brad and Angelina. I do not have to keep up with them. It's okay for me to age. It's okay for me not to have, amen, a lot of things in life, but it's not okay for me not to have a thankful heart for all that God has done through Jesus Christ for me. Can you say amen? No, that's not okay. That's not okay. That's not okay. I am not unthankful. I am not ungrateful. I thank God for food. I thank God for raiment. Can you say amen? And I thank God for Jesus Christ, who saved my undying soul, written my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, secured me a place in heaven, and promised while I'm here on my way there to never leave me and never forsake me. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise in this room. That's why we praise him. That's why we sing. We're not waiting for some event to take place to put us up on some level of some strata of society before we give him the glory that is due his name. I believe God is going to prosper everybody in here, materially and financially. But he's going to do it as your soul prospers. The spiritual man is first with God. Can you say amen? And if he can make you happy on the inside, it won't take much to make you happy on the outside. You didn't hear me. If he can ever make you happy on the inside, if he can strengthen you with might in the inward man, though the outward man perish, it don't affect the real you. For the inward man is renewed day by day. We need some preachers that emphasize the inward man, because you're more than a soul and a body. You are a spirit as well. Where did we lose feeding that spiritual part of our life, that eternal part of our life? When did that get lost in the shuffle and we just became soul and body and self-indulgent, ever living in the prison of want? Are these folks in the prison of want? You bet they are, because they're ever getting, never getting enough. It's exactly what the insatiable appetite of the world is. Believe me today, Bill Gates, who has $58 billion in his personal wealth, he don't have enough. Guarantee you, he's not satisfied. Microsoft still has to be the dog-eat-dog number one. He is not satisfied. How do you know he's not? Because the Bible said, amen, there is no peace to the wicked, none. Hello? Money don't buy peace while you're not when you're not right with God, no matter how much you accumulate or acquire. The kingdom is representative of that. That man at his least, with the kingdom reigning within him, is richer than the man with the most without it. That's what's represented in Scripture. Doesn't mean you have to be the least. It's just saying, if you've got this, you've got the most important, the most satisfying, the eternal. And you can be fulfilled, believe it or not. Amen? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It's he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So enter his gates with, woo, enter his gates with thanksgiving, and enter his courts with praise. Be thankful. There's that word again. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Hallelujah. It's right here today. It's right here today. It's right here today. Cutting through all of the darkness, praise God. All of the false doctrine and false teaching and false prophets. The truth is still with us today. Can you say amen? The word is still alive and powerful. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Throughout all of Israel's history, Listen to this as we close. Throughout all of Israel's history, Psalm 100 was known as a psalm of thanksgiving. Jameson Fawcett Brown's commentary calls it a psalm of thankful praise. One Bible footnote says, a hymn inviting people to enter the temple courts with thank offerings for God who created them and provided for them. Psalm 100 is both a call to worship and an instruction manual on how to worship acceptably. The basis for all true worship is thankfulness as well as reverence. Can you say, man? What good is reverence if you're ungrateful and unthankful? What good is reverence to God when you bow to Him out of fear instead of out of a love for Him and an appreciation for Him? Amen? Thanksgiving is more than Turkey Day. Thanksgiving for the Christian is every day with Jesus. I love that song that says every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. It should be. It's supposed to be. Amen. As we grow in a deeper knowledge, we grow in a deeper appreciation of what has happened at the cross. I'm talking about the majesty of the cross, and I'll bring you that next week. We'll catch up the radio thing. The majesty, the glory of what Jesus did for us. Alex Haley, the author of Roots, had an unusual picture hanging on his office wall. We're almost done. It's a picture of a turtle on top of a fence post. When asked, why is that there, Alex Haley answered, every time I write something significant, every time I read my words and think that they are wonderful and begin to feel proud of myself, I look at the turtle on top of the fence post and remember, he didn't get there on his own. He had help. Can you say amen? And that is the basis of thankfulness, to remember that we got here with the help of God. And that He is the provider of every blessing that we have. Everybody say the turtle on the fence post. Roland Allen tells of a missionary who came up to him one day after he delivered his sermon. The missionary introduced himself and said, I was a medical missionary for many years in India. And I served in a region where there was progressive blindness. People were born with healthy vision, but there was something in that area that caused people to lose their sight as they matured. But this missionary developed a process that would arrest, he was a medical missionary as well as teaching about Jesus, that it would arrest progressive blindness. So people came to him and he performed his operation and they would leave realizing they could have become blind, but now they were going to be able to see for the rest of their life. And he said they never said thank you. I think that's one of the easiest things that we can do, isn't it, is just say thank you instead of, you know, giving thanks is different from living thanks. Instead, they spoke a word that meant, in their native tongue, I will tell your name. Isn't that good? Be thankful, call upon the Lord. Declare His deeds among the people. Tell His name. Tell His name. Tell His name. Listen, Psalm 105, 1, 2, and 3. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Amen. Wherever they went, they would tell the name of the missionary who cured their blindness. They had received something so wonderful, they eagerly proclaimed it. That's what the psalmist is saying. Suddenly you realize that God has been so good to you, you can't keep it inside anymore. From the depths of your being, you shout your joy to the Lord. And you tell His name everywhere that you go. Amen? You can't tell it like I can tell it what the Lord has done for me, one song said. Because He did it for me. That's why testimonies are so powerful, because they're so personal. They're not just history lessons of an ancient God and an ancient people. They're contemporary. They're up to date. That God is our God, and He's moving in the 21st century. Somebody give Him praise. Will you stand to your feet today? Are you getting ready for Thanksgiving? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you getting ready for Thanksgiving? Are you glad you came to this humble setting? Praise God. To get ready. Get your heart prepared. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why we praise Him. That's why we sing today. Glory.